I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 17. 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 17. 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 17 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, asking for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We ask again for the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God to just fill us and guide us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we'll give you all the praise, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, How Long Halt Ye Between Two Opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? That's an important question even for the faithful of God to consider. And he was speaking to the people of God. And tonight we're going to consider three, possibly four questions that we'll look at this evening. And the first question is, where was Elijah's confidence? Secondly, where was Elijah's conviction? And the last, what happened to Elijah's certitude? What happened to his confidence? It just kind of went out the door here as we'll consider a couple of chapters here. We're not going to go through a specific, we're going to look at probably about three chapters and just certain highlights of them. And I hope and pray that God will reveal truths to us tonight, as he has to me in preparation of this, that we might look at this from a different angle, different perspective, as we look at this portion of Scripture again. So what's the most important thing really for a believer to do? And that of course is to follow the Lord. But listen, it's not just, what do we believe in? What's our faith in? Well, we say our faith is in God, but it's important to be a follower of the Lord, right? If we say we believe in God, we ought to be followers of God. Every believer's confidence must be in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, that's where our confidence is, but it's enhanced when we follow the Lord. We can have salvation and not follow God, but as we follow the Lord begins to reveal himself and show himself to fulfill the promises that he's given to us and to be true to his word, and that builds our faith, that builds our confidence, that builds our assurance that God is truly, you can count on God, amen? Anything he has said, he will fulfill, and that will cause us to grow deeper in our relationship with the Lord. So tonight as we consider these three questions, possibly a fourth one here, let's consider, where was Elijah's confidence? What was taking place in the life of Elijah to give him this confidence? Well, back up with me just for a moment to chapter 17. And I want you to know that Elijah's confidence in the Lord was not just in God, but his confidence came because he followed the Lord, and the Lord revealed himself through fulfilling his promises to him. So that gave Elijah the confidence that he could count on the Lord. And so I just want to look at two examples here of Elijah's trust in God to perform his promise to him. Example one, we find here in 1 Kings 17. Look with me in verse 2, and notice what it says here. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." So God had told him to tell him that there's not, that tell the people, Elijah was to tell the people there wasn't going to be any rain for 3.5 years. And so everything dried up. And God said, now I'm going to send you to this brook,
and I'm going to take care of you. So that was a step of faith. Okay, Lord. Well, look at the situation he was in. If he didn't go, he was going to be in trouble, right? So he says, I have nothing to lose. You know, we have everything to gain and nothing to lose when we follow the Lord. And so he went, and lo and behold, God was true to his promise. But he didn't know other than God said, so I'm going to take him at his word. And God fulfilled this to give him sustenance. God has also given you and I, as believers, promises that give us spiritual sustenance. And we'll take a look at that here as we move along through the scriptures. Now, here's the second example, and that's in the same chapter there in verse 8. So the brook dries up. Verse 8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, so this is a process of now Elijah looking to the Lord and not to the circumstance. Listen, the ravens, that's an unclean bird, were bringing him bread. And where was this bread coming from? Did you see what it said there? Flesh, bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Listen, last I checked, ravens don't cook bread. Amen. And I don't know about the meat either. Amen. And so the ravens were doing something. They were just basically carrier pigeons. They were just bringing, and God can cause anything to take place. And I listen. And when you're hungry, that food tastes good. Amen. And so here we find Elijah being taken care of by the Lord, and he was encouraged by that. Question: do you think he said, wow, what a God? Amen. Praise the Lord. He listen, never in a million years could you train a raven to do that. And God just programmed this raven to do that, and no doubt created this. I don't even know how it all happened, but praise God it did. And so now this has Elijah with confidence in the Lord. Now remember, the widow woman, she was going to grab a couple of sticks and make her last meal and then die. That's what she said. But Elijah says, oh, no, listen. God says he's going to take care of us. So you prepare for me first, and God will see to it that the oil and the meal won't waste until the time comes. And do you know what happened? Exactly what God said would happen. So let me ask you this question. Where do you think Elijah's faith, do you think it was growing in the Lord? God was building up his faith. And the only way that God was able to do that was because Elijah put his trust or his faith in his God. So if we want to have great faith, Lord, bless me with great faith. Let's trust him in the little things. Amen. That's how it works. You'll notice God didn't throw him right out to the prophets of Baal firsthand. He first gave him this first test. Amen. Of faith. And then he experienced God's provision. Listen, it was God's provision. What was it that built up Elijah's faith? Was it Elijah or was it God's faithfulness? It was God's faithfulness. So everything, listen, concerning faith is putting our trust in God's great faithfulness. That's what a life of faith is really all about. Anybody who's done anything great for the Lord has to have great confidence in God's great faithfulness. Amen? And so that's what God wants us to have. You and I, he wants you and I also as well to have this great faith. But where's that great faith going to be? In God's great faithfulness to fulfill his promises to you and I that he's already given to us in his word. So we see these two examples of Elijah. And so that's where Elijah's confidence was at. And by the way, with that confidence, did he encourage the widow woman and her son? Amen. Listen, the son saw it too. And the widow woman saw it as well. And so he says to her, listen, this is what God says he's going to do. And they watched it take place. So do you think that these two individuals also began to have faith in the Lord? Amen. They had every opportunity because they had seen it being fulfilled. All right. So let's consider this. Where was Elijah's conviction? And let's go over to the next chapter, chapter 18. And let's look at verse 36. Where was Elijah's conviction. Notice what he says here look at verse 35. We'll just back up a little bit. And the water ran about the altar, chapter 18, and he filled the trench also with water. And by the way, remember there was a drought, so this is an expensive commodity here. The water was, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham. So here's the question. Where was Elijah's conviction? Where was his confidence in his God? Our convictions ought to also be in the Lord. We can trust him. And so notice what he says here. He says, Lord God of Abraham, verse 36 there, Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things, how? At God's word. Do you know that God does not want us to do anything of our own ideas? You know why? Because if we do things of our own ideas, mark it down. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. We're going to be wrong. We're going to make a mistake. And so God says, as long as you look to my word for guidance, I will be there. Amen? You can mark it down. You can be dependent. If you'll prove me, I'll come through for you. If you'll try me, you'll see me work. All right. So he says, I've done it at your word. Verse 37, he says this. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Isn't that good? Listen, this is a blessing for the people. Not the prophets of Baal, but this is a blessing for the people to come back. Listen, if today isn't an opportunity and an important time for God's people to get excited about our God and the promises that he's given to us, I don't know what is. We need God in our lives more than anything. Listen, God, you know, God says, if you abide in me and I in you, you and I, we're going to bear fruit. Then we're going to bear more fruit. And then the Bible says we're going to bear much fruit, right? Well, let's not be these believers that say, oh, I just need to bear fruit. Oh, no, no, no. No, God said there's a progression. He didn't say some are going to bear fruit, some are going to bear much, and some are going to bear more. No, the progression was you start bearing fruit when you get saved, and then you're going to bear more fruit, and then you're going to bear much fruit. And the problem is we've settled for no fruit. Isn't that the truth? I mean, my goodness, listen, if there was ever a time, and by the way, the fruit of the believer, I know it's the fruit of the Spirit, but listen, I want you to know this, the fruit of the believer is also people being saved. And so I know, listen, I'm sure that you want to see people saved. Amen. One thing I know for sure, God wants to see people saved, and guess where he wants to do it? Absolutely, through his people. And so we've got to say, okay, Lord, okay, Lord, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because if we keep doing, that's, you know, the definition of insanity. If we keep doing everything the same way and nothing is changing, nothing will ever change. And so we've got to say, God, listen, you're getting ready to come back. I want to be found faithful. Show me how to walk with you and show me how to call upon you to fulfill your promises in my own personal life. All right. So as he's saying, verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. Remember when he said, in fact, look at verse 37 again. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. Did you hear what his prayer was? Did you see what he said there? That your people may know that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire fell. If there was ever a time for the fire of God to fall in the lives of God's people when it's needed the most, it's today. And all we have to do is walk with the same kind of confidence and the same kind of conviction in our God that Elijah did. Amen. It's all we have to do. Is God faithful to his word? Amen. Here's the real question. Are we faithful to God's word? But that's okay. God wants us to come back. Amen? God wants us to get excited and committed to our faithfulness and our belief in his word. He will prove himself if we will just turn back to him and say, Lord, I want to see you work. And so he says, Then, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, listen, how did that all happen? Let's recap a little bit. God said, I need you to do something, Elijah. And he did the little things. And then I need you to go over here to this widow woman. And by the way, listen, let's not look at it like Elijah said, yeah. Of course it was going to happen. Don't you know he worshiped too? And not only that, but the widow woman and her son were encouraged as well, were they not? Now, let me ask you this question. Now God moves him over to the next step of a walk of faith to be used for the glory of God, to bear much fruit, right? Listen, he bared fruit. He trusted the Lord. And what was the fruit? He had sustenance for his own body. Then he began to bear more fruit. And what did he do? He blessed the life. He received a blessing from the Lord. And because of his faith in God, a widow woman and her son were blessed. And now we're getting ready to see much fruit. Look what happens here. And when all the people, verse 39, saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Do you think these people, by Elijah's trusting in the Lord, were encouraged in their faith to believe in God? Amen. See, listen, the world doesn't need our profession of faith. They need to see Jesus in us. And Elijah, verse 40, said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Nobody heard it, but he knew it was coming. How did he know it was coming? Because he was following the Lord. And the Lord was working with him. Listen, you know why? You know why the Lord was working with Elijah? Do you know why the Lord works with anybody? First of all, because he is true to himself. And because he is the truth, the way and the life. And he wants to bless his people. If we will call upon the Lord to say, Lord, help me to understand what it means about this abiding in you and you and me. Because he wants to perform works through your life and mine. See, listen, we've got to get our eyes off of our own ideas and put them on what God has already said and look to what God has already said and stop trying to tell God what we think he ought to do and he ought to sanction and bless our great ideas because that's not the way he works. So, what's going on here? Well, we find Elijah had conviction because of God's great faithfulness. He was, listen, he'd have looked quite foolish if nothing came down. But the fire came down. So God confirmed. And what do you think that did for Elijah's faith? It should have bolstered it, shouldn't it? It should have built it up in the Lord. But we're going to see that there was a problem. We're going to go to chapter 19. The water was coming. And now, chapter 19, verse 1. All this great happening was taking place. And the clouds and the wind and the great rain. The Bible says it was a great rain in chapter 18, verse 45. And chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods, lowercase g, which are no gods at all, do to me and more also if she, does not make thy life, Elijah, like the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. 24 hours. And when he saw that, this writing, he arose and went for his life. What happened? What happened to his certitude, his confidence? He arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came. He's been gone for a while. He's gone over this 24-hour period. And he went into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord," in case you didn't know who he was talking to, "take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." What happened? What happened to his certitude? See, I'm convinced this is what happens to God's people. It's an example for us, right? And of course, you know, God took care of him, didn't he? And he nurtured him. But I want you to go over to verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This is chapter 19, verse 9. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" That's a good question, wasn't it? "What brought you to this place?" Let me ask you this question. Was it God that brought him there? Did God say, "Go over here"? Did God say, "Run from Jezebel"? It was his fear. It was himself. Now listen, notice this. Even though he didn't go where he just kind of went off on his own because he got this letter from Jezebel, God was aware of it, and God still was working with him, wasn't he? He didn't throw him away. Verse 10, and he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." But wait a minute, I just thought a whole bunch of them said, "The Lord, he is the God, the Lord man." Revival. And he's running. How does that happen? God literally set the place on fire. Amen. And the people of God knew, the people of Israel knew who the Lord was. And here's Elijah running. Now we know the story. And he thought he was the only one. And the Lord let him know, "I want you to know there are 7,000 prophets that have not bowed the knee to Baal." Right? Remember that? Okay. But here's the fourth question, right? I asked you what happened to Elijah's certitude. And that's the same thing really. Listen, what happened to Elijah's certitude is the same thing that happened to Peter when he walked on the water and took his eyes off the Lord. Same thing. By the way, it's the same thing that will happen to us. You cannot take your... And how do we keep our eyes on the Lord? Look at what his word's saying and walk according thereto. That's what it is. Here's the fourth question. When did Elijah's problem begin? I am glad you asked. Back up to chapter 18. And remember our text? Look at verse 21. Ready? This is a great time. Watch this. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. Uh-oh. Question, did God tell him that? Who told him that? His own self told him that. Was that the truth? But he believed it, didn't he? The moment we begin to think untrue things, that is where his defeat began. And notice this, was God not still working with him? Absolutely he was. But he's already... Listen, remember what I tell you, and it's not me, it's just biblical. How far are we away, spiritually speaking, from falling flat on our faces? One step. One step. There's his step. He began to think in his own mind, and God was still working, and probably, you know, he's looking around, I must be the only one. You know, I don't see any other believers. Wait a minute, wasn't there a widow woman and her son? I think they were honoring the Lord. They surely honored the man of God. And so what was going on there? He began to use his own rationale. He began to think, and then, you know, he bought it. And then he felt, listen, what did that do for him? It probably made him feel pretty much alone. But God was with him. But he felt like maybe he got to, and now all he needed was, that brought him to the precipice of a cliff, and Jezebel just gave him that little note and threw him off. When we begin to think in our own way, we bring ourselves. That's why it's so important. What does the Lord, listen, what does the Lord want me to do? Well, God wants us to be the light of the world. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, all these things will be added unto you if you seek it out. And if he says, listen, and pray for us. We're going to go out tomorrow and knock on doors and invite people to come. And we try to go out every Thursday. But is it just the pastor and one or two more that's supposed to do that? Or is it not that, see, if we're not careful, and I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or anything like that, but God says, hey, listen, I've called you to abide in me, and if you're abiding in me, you're going to care about the same things I care about, and I care about the destiny of lost people to be saved. I'm not trying, listen, Lord, set my soul on fire. These people are slipping out of this world into eternal death. It's not just, it would be one thing if hell was just for a million years, at least you could see the end coming up. But forever is forever. It will never happen. They will never get out of there. And so Lord, help me to love souls the way you loved me, to save me. Help me. You don't have to go crazy. That's why I tell you, we don't have to set a time with the Lord, but we ought to call upon him every day. Find a place. Lord, I need you. And Lord, remind me to put a track in my pocket or on me somewhere that I can hand it out to somebody at least once a week. We ought to probably, if we're in the public, have it all the time on us. And just get, Lord, give me the boldness. Didn't Paul ask the disciples to pray for that God would give him the boldness to preach the word of God? Lord, give me the boldness to hand out an invitation and to give out a gospel tract. Give me the boldness. Listen, these people, they don't know it, but they're going to hell without you. And I'm supposed to be the watchman that says, hey, listen, you're headed for eternal death. I know this now because God's given me eternal life. And it's by the grace of God. It's not because of what, listen, God saved us because of his grace and love and mercy. But listen, he's given to us eternal life. But then he says, because you're a new creation, because you're a new creature, and I've given you my spirit, you've got the same heart as I have now. But it's high time that we use faith and put it into action for the glory of God. Lord, I ought to, every checkout cashier that I come across, I ought to just give them a tract. They can throw it away. That's okay. I don't think I've ever had anybody do that. I've had some of them stop and start reading it. We were out door knocking, and there were these construction guys working, and they were waiting to start their job. They had just pulled up to the job, and I said, "Hey, let me give you something here." And well, I don't live here. That's okay. It's a gospel tract. It tells you about eternal life. And I gave it to the other guy. The one guy put it in his pocket. The other guy, because they were waiting to start their job, was reading it. Well, we've got a great God that's concerned about the souls of men. Amen. At least the guy read it. But what if I never would have handed it out? And by the way, for the record, just so that you know, it's not always comfortable for me to do it. I want you to know sometimes I feel a little bit awkward doing it. But you know what's more important than me being awkward? Their eternal soul. You know what's important to them? Their souls. You know what's important to God? Their souls. Just like it was important for us to be saved in the eyes of God. And so God says, how long halt you between two opinions? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we ought to be abiding and seeing his fruit. And if there's not, then there's a problem. And we need to bring it to Jesus and say, Lord, show me. Teach me. I won't quit. I'm just going to knock, Lord, until you show me. I'm just going to keep knocking until you show me, Lord, how important these people that I come into contact with, their souls are, as my soul is to you. That I might at least, listen, what's the worst they can do? And they won't do it, really. I've never had it happen. Threaten you? As somebody said, with heaven? That's not a threat. I've never had any, I've had people maybe get you know, oh, I'm not interested, but I've never had anybody threaten me. Now, I know we live in crazy times, but you know, Jesus gave his life. And he just wants us to live for him, amen? So tonight, let's make up our mind that we serve Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, that's given to us eternal life. And it's high time, amen, that we get serious with our God, working his promises out that he's given to us in our lives. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. What a privilege, Lord, that we can do that. And we ask, Lord, we are imperfect, and yet you've chosen us because you love us. And we don't understand that always. But Lord, we know that you've also called us to follow you and abide in you. And in doing that, you would bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit in and through our lives. You will do all the work if we just call on you to do it and perform it. What you've promised, Lord. Bless your people in the rest of the time as we break off for prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.